Stay tuned here because I will be giving you details in the next couple days about the Indianapolis conference, which will be held September 23rd and 24th. Let's just call it 22nd through the 24th. Yes, that's the same weekend as the Constellation. We hope to get a big group there. I think we will. Things are shaping up that way. So set aside that weekend and that Thursday. Before that, we'll be at Dean Wilkinson's house in Evansville, which is 2 hours to the south of Indianapolis. I'll be giving you the exact times, but what you need to know is the place, and I will give you contact information as well. Andy May is the go-to guy, but I'm going to be giving you, again, contact information in the next couple of days. In the meantime, I have a video link for you, and I want to read something to you from a website before I get back to Isaiah 43, where I left off, I believe, last Thursday, and before I go into the Ezekiel 37, the two sticks of the house of Judah and the house of Israel, which we are going to see united. That kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, was split after the days of Solomon, and God had a purpose for this. And probably tomorrow, when I talk to you about those two sticks being joined and the prophecy from Ezekiel, I will tell you why I think the kingdom of Israel was split, why there was a civil war, why there became two kings, the king of Israel, the king of Judah. And I think it's for this time. It's for what we're going to be seeing. Now, let me find this web page. I hesitate sending you here. There's some gobbledygook here, but a lot of it's good. It's heavenlysign2017.com. And I'm at the section slash supporting -data.html. It's concerning the seal being scrolled up in Daniel. Roll up the scroll, because you're not going to understand this entire prophecy, Daniel. This is the prophecy concerning the 70 sevens given to Israel. And this also concerns our constellation of September 12th. I'm quoting now. I don't have an attribution here. I don't know the name of the author. But I think this is interesting, and I have a video that says the same thing. This makes total sense to me, what I'm about to tell you. Quote, for many years, it has been believed that this chapter of Revelation, that is chapter 12, was allegorical. It wasn't until recently that the technology has been available to view stellar alignments through the whole of history. And that's true. That you can go back and see what a certain planet was doing on September 23rd, 3973 BC. And you can see what it's going to do, were it to still be around 6,000 years from now. Back to the quote. We now know that the great sign described by John in Revelation 12 is that of a specific event, which is to take place on September 23rd, 2017. This alignment has never before taken place and will never take place again. All scripture is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16, and disregarding entire passages that deal with the constellations for fear of crossing over into astrology is not being true to scripture. Yes, when you bring this sign up, there is a fear that people will think you're getting into metaphysics, you're getting into astrology, you're getting into New Age. Because, again, Satan is an imitator of truth. So he'll take truth. He'll take this constellation and he'll put up an imitation right next to it, just like the Egyptian magicians did. They imitated the truth when Moses put down his rod and it became, or Aaron put down, and the rod became a serpent. The magicians using black art did the same thing. But of course, my snake's bigger than your snake. The snake of Aaron and Moses devoured the snake or the serpent of the magicians, Jannes and Jambres. So this passage has been allegorized. It's been looked at and explained away, because we until now really have not been able to see clearly the positions of stars. Now, back to the quote, Daniel 12:4 states this, quote, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase," unquote. This is from the article. "We are now living in the time of the end. 80 years ago, it would have been impossible to determine with precision whether the alignment on September 23rd, 2017 would take place. Even more compelling is that we would have lacked the ability to apply astronomical data to a specific date in history. Along with increased knowledge and worldwide travel, this understanding of astronomy is certainly one of those things which was sealed until the time of the end." Unquote. I think that is profoundly true. We looked at Daniel 12:4 here before. I've given you my thoughts on it. I've shown you how this era has been increasingly become complex. Knowledge has increased via computer technology, and it's happened only since the mid-1800s, even later. I enjoy giving you this fact, and I always will, to remind you of it, that humanity was riding horses from the time of Adam to the mid-1800s. And from that time until now, that short period of 1850, let's say, you can say 1800 if you want, in the last 200 years, last 200 years, not 2,000, 200 years, the exponential growth of knowledge, of information, of technology, of complexity, of speed, of destructive power. It's literally off the charts. Included with that are the many good things. There are good things that come with technology, but every good thing has a dark cloud sewn into the silver lining. But one of the good things is the Stellarium program. This software shows you the heavens during the day. You know, there was a time when people couldn't see the stars during the day. Now people can see at night, people can see during the day. My friend Bert Hunter, when I was visiting him a couple years ago now, I guess, in Georgia, we were sitting on his back porch at night. And he has a meadow in his backyard, and he has a couple of horses down there. Anyway, it was pitch black, but he had these infrared, or like, I don't know, binoculars that probably SWAT teams would use, or the Navy SEALs, military. The military has these special night vision binoculars, and he had a pair of these, and it was the most amazing thing. You could look through them. I could see the horses in the dark. I could train it on the heavens, and where the sky was totally black before, all the stars were lit up. It was like voodoo or something. It's like I wanted to unhand them, because they seemed, whoever invented them made a pact with Satan. How can you see? How can we see bones? We got Mr. Rankin, who discovered the X-ray. Now we can X-ray, we can see. Since then, what we can see in the human body is unbelievable. We can see minute layers of the brain, of the human brain. And people who want to catch fish can see fish. They can cheat on the fish. The fish are doomed, because you can have sonar or radar on your boat, and you can find out where the schools of fish are. it's not so much potluck, is it? It's not so much a crapshoot when you're fishing. So now we can see the heavens at any time of day. We can even know what's going on in the southern hemisphere if you're in the northern hemisphere. And if you're in the southern hemisphere, you can find out what's going on in the northern hemisphere because of this software, because of computer technology. Is this part of what the messenger Gabriel was saying to Daniel, that in the end days, in the last times, knowledge will increase? Knowledge of Daniel's prophecy, knowledge of the times, knowledge of the seasons, and knowledge of the Revelation chapter 12 constellation. I have a video for you that my sister Kelly will have a link to underneath this video. It's called September 23rd, 2017, Part 1, The Revelation 12 Sign, Unlocking Daniel's Sealed Prophecies. The only reason I hesitate sending you this is because the beginning of this thing, the introduction is so ridiculous, it's corny. I'm talking about the music and the drum beats and the drama and the Hollywood techniques of introducing this video. It's absurd. It's ridiculous. If you have great truth, and there is mature truth in this video, you don't need this stupid Hollywood introduction with fanfare and drum beats, and it's absolutely absurd, and I'm embarrassed about it. But the substance of the video is significant, and so I recommend that to you. Now I'm going to fulfill my promise to you. I'm going to go back to Isaiah chapter 43. And of course, I'll be continuing with this tomorrow since it's a little late in the show right now. But I told you that what I'm looking for on September 24th is a people having a greater desire for Israel things, a greater desire for law, even greater than they have now, and a desire to return to Israel. And I am going to be showing you also the seven ecclesias. I call them a staging ground, and I like that. I'm going to go with that. I already went with it, apparently, but now I'm going to stick to it. The seven ecclesias that will exist will be a staging ground where the 144,000 and part of the vast throng will be prepared, and this is part of being prepared in the wilderness, to take the kingdom, to go out into the earth during the last 7 years and to prophesy, because God will have his witnesses on this earth. Just as we today are witnesses on the earth of the peace of God, the 144,000 who will be sealed to go through the day of indignation, they will be witnesses on the earth to the coming kingdom. They will be explaining to people. And then the Aeonian evangel goes out by supernatural means later. All bets are off during the last 3.5 years. There's going to be supernatural things that be difficult to describe today, but that the plagues of Egypt were a prototype of. People say, I've never seen water turn to blood, I've never seen hailstones, I've never seen the wholesale death, Zender, that you're talking about. Well, I'm just a relayer of information. If you haven't seen it, watch the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston and Yul Brynner. Read the book of Exodus. This has been done before, but it's going to be done on a scale and on a scope never before seen. So what I'm looking for is for Israel to come into a general awareness. I'm looking for the remnant to become a vast army that Satan will vehemently oppose, and there's going to be wars in the heavens that will be manifested on the earth. Isaiah 43, 4 through 10. Why am I telling you this? I want to back up a little bit because, again, I'm a few days removed from the first time I introduced this topic. When I told you about the Valley of Dry Bones, I said that this was the expectation of Israel that was dried up that is now coming back. And God is going to perform a miracle. And he's going to say, for those who are not my people, there they will become the people of God. In the place where it was said, you are not my people. I should go to that prophecy. I'll do it tomorrow. Not my people. There it will be said of you, you're the people of God. The tricky thing there is it's the same people. This is not replacement theology where God is transferring the blessings he promised to Israel to another people, namely today's church, namely the body of Christ, namely Christians. This is called replacement theology, where God is done with Israel and he's replacing his natural people. He's replacing the people he called the literal descendants of Abraham. He's replacing them. And the promises he made to them are now not literally being fulfilled, but we can't say they won't be fulfilled because they're being allegorically fulfilled in a different people. Well, no, this is just wrong. This is false. It sounds good. It's attractive, but it's false. I don't care how attractive it is. In the very place and with the very people that it was said, you're not my people. God divorced Israel for her unfaithfulness. And she's been unfaithful ever since. In that very place, with that very people, he will say, now you're the people of God. And we see this happening in Ezekiel 37. And to review, I call this the Ezekiel 37 shocker, the Valley of Dry Bones. Can these bones live? Can a nation whose expectation is decimated live? Answer is yes. And all it takes is God breathing the breath of life into them. This is review, I know. Just as he did with Adam when he formed that being of the soil and he breathed into it, and Adam became a living soul. The soil became animated. Adam became a soul. In the Valley of Dry Bones, the bones are figurative and therefore so are the graves. But the graves are the churches today, I believe. This is my unique view of this, my unique teaching. The graves of Israelites are your religious people. And this will introduce you to what I'm going to do before the end of this week, I think, is to tell you why God split the kingdom of Israel after the reign of Solomon. Why there was a civil war. Why 10 tribes went north and why 2 tribes stayed to the south. So the Spirit of God comes on the Valley of Dry Bones. It comes on the people of Israel. He raises his people, rattles them, and fills them with the Spirit of God in startling measure. That's why I think this is going to be noticed. This is nothing less than the dawn of the new covenant. Someone took issue with me saying, Martin, how can you say it's the new covenant? I said it's the beginning of the new covenant. It's the dawn of a new era. And I said that there could be overlap. I did say there could be overlap. There probably would be overlap between the body of Christ and Israel, just like there was in the first century. Remember, there was overlap in that Israel was becoming less and less, and the body of Christ was becoming more and more, and they passed each other like ships passing in the night, except there was some conflict. There was some skirmishes. We should have no skirmishes today. We should be at peace with all humanity, with the ruling authorities. And we can be aware that after September 23rd, I believe, Israel is going to begin to be awakened and the remnant is turning to an army. And we'll be able to see indications of it, maybe even as we're being snatched away. I'm not saying that the overlap is going to be right down the line. We could be snatched away before that, but I'm already getting whiffs of it. I've been getting whiffs of it, to be honest with you. I've been sensing this. That's a bad word. I want to take that away. I want to retract that. I've been noticing this in my studies since I began looking into the remnant of Israel. This was back in 1986. Yeah, 30 years ago, I was reading about this group of people on the earth who were very interested in kingdom truths, and they liked the idea that they would be ruling the earth, and they liked the idea of tracing their genealogy to Abraham. So it's the dawn of the new covenant. It's the whole house of Israel, not the house of Judah, that now exists in secret. Yesterday I talked about the secret of lawlessness, the secret of godliness, and I talked about the secret of the chiefs of this eon. Now I'm talking about the secret of the house of Israel. This is the 14th secret introduced to you today by me. The 14th secret is that the house of Israel exists in secret, been hidden. It's been hidden by God, just like we have been hidden by God. We have been interspersed among the other inhabitants of this planet, light bearers, light bringers, despised by most, revered by few. And here's another secret, that we're scattered, that we're not a unit. And this is the lament, that I'm alone, Martin, I'm all over the place. Well, so is the house of Israel, but they do gather together, and so do we, in limited amounts, in limited places, for limited times. We have conferences, or we meet, or two or three of us meet in a living room. The house of Israel has been doing the same thing over the years while it has existed in secret. While it has existed in secret, even to itself, it is congregated in churches. It is congregated in churches that put the Ten Commandments on the walls, in churches that have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John written on the thresholds, in churches that really do not give only lip service to the Apostle Paul. It's been a secret. But when these marvels begin to happen, God's going to lift the veil off, and the secret is going to be discarded for the revelation. God is going to begin opening the eyes of his people Israel, and they're going to see. Now they only say that they see, because they are spiritual descendants, I'll say that, of the Pharisees, who say they saw. They say, we see. They didn't see anything. They're blind as the night. They're blind as the inside of a cave. They're blind as the inside of a sepulcher. They're like dumb animals going to slaughter. But in the place where it was said, not my people, and with that people of whom it is said, in that place and with that people, it is going to be said, you are the people of God.